right, we have children's church being dismissed to my left and to your right. If you're going to children's church, please go. Those of you who are staying in the sanctuary, please turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Ooh, Revelation. Last week we were asked a question in our sermon, and this was the question. What did God set you free to do? What did God set you free to do? We looked at Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 21, and saw that the apostles of Christ, who were preaching the gospel message and healing as Jesus healed, were not praised by the Jewish authorities, not one little bit, as they should have been, but they weren't. They were arrested and thrown into jail. Now, that night, our scripture told us that the angel of the Lord released these men and told them to go back to where they were the day before and do the exact same thing they were doing that got them arrested to be in the first place. Church, God set them free with a mission and a purpose. God set those men free with a mission and a purpose. We learn that God sets us all free from the prison of sin with a mission and a purpose. Amen? We have a purpose to fulfill in the sight of God. This morning, I want us to understand what it means to be what we saw in those men last week. I want us to understand what it means to be what we saw in those men last week. I want us to see what it means to be worthy. To be worthy. How many of y'all, you at some point in time in your life after you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you felt like God has asked you to do something, or you feel like God wanted you to do something, or go witness to somebody, or to do something, and the first thought that came to your mind is, I'm not worthy to do that. Have y'all ever felt that before? Church, I want to be perfectly honest with you. There's not a time that I've ever stepped foot in a pulpit where I felt worthy to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. I'm not worthy. I'm called. This morning, I want you to understand that you're called as well. Each and every one of us is called. The title of the message this morning is, Who is Worthy? Who is worthy? Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Revelation 5:1. And John records this. He says, Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look in it. And I cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, Lord, we come to you again asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we are collectively all asking you to forgive us where we fail you. But Lord, right now, I pray that you would still our hearts, still our minds. You'd help us to focus on you and your word, God, for a very specific reason, that we'll understand who we are in you, that we'll be greater servants once we've heard this message, not because it's for me, but because it's from you, Lord, that we might serve you the way you created us to serve. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Church, what we just read is both a past event and a future event. Do y'all know that? It's both a past event because John was there in the Spirit. He saw it take place before he wrote this. He saw it take place, but it's also a future event. John saw this event take place, but it is an event that has not yet taken place yet. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, Brother Kyle, this is confusing. I would say to you, that's my God. That's my God. It hasn't happened yet, but we know it's going to take place in the very short future. What we have just witnessed will take place very, very soon, I believe, in heaven. It's going to happen. So what did we just see? What is it, Griffin, that we just saw take place? Well, firstly, we saw what John saw. We saw exactly what the Apostle John saw on the Isle of Patmos while he was out there and he was in the Spirit of God, and he saw this take place. Now think with me for a second here. We saw the raw emotions of John when he saw this scroll revealed and the question asked, who is worthy to open this scroll and break its seals? Our scripture this morning tells us that John, while in the Spirit, cried and cried because there was no one initially worthy enough to open the scroll and break its seven seals. We're talking, Tony, about in heaven. We're not talking about on earth. Now, this would be understandable, Butch, if the angel of the Lord came down and they assembled a throne room or a throne on earth, and God had this scroll in his hand, and the angel came down, Brother Frank, and he says, okay, who is worthy to open this and these seven seals, to take it, to touch it? Who is worthy? It'd be understandable to me that nobody was worthy, but we're talking about in heaven. There was nobody in heaven that was worthy enough to take that scroll from the God's hand and open the seven seals. Nobody. Is that kind of mind-boggling? Feel in heaven. In heaven. We're perfect in heaven because we're made in the image of God, and we'll finally be that perfect image in heaven, but still nobody. The angels, the seraphim, I mean, creatures that were created by God that had never sinned in the presence of God, that constantly gave praise to God 24 hours a day, 7 days, they were not worthy to touch this scroll. Now, we have to step back and ask the question, what does it mean to be worthy? Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking, Brother Carey, for somebody who is worthy to touch this scroll, to take this scroll, to open the seven seals. What does it mean to be worthy? The word worthy means having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specified way. A person notable or important in a particular sphere. So what the mighty angel was asking in our scripture this morning is this: who is here that has merited the honor, who has the distinction of those who know them, who is truly deserving to touch this scroll, to open each of its seals? The angel was actively looking for somebody who was worthy. He called out, Stan, who is worthy? As I thought about this, I thought about an embarrassing time in my life. Did anybody have an embarrassing time in their life? Y'all, everybody have an embarrassing time? I'll never forget. I was on the swim team. I know you probably don't, you know, y'all can't imagine that. But I was on the swim team from, golly, probably 10 years when I was a child. And for some reason, I was on the TGK swim team. And for some reason, we assembled with the Fort Mill swim team at the Fort Mill complex in Fort Mill, South Carolina. They were our arch rival. They were our nemesis. We didn't like them, and they didn't like us. They always accused us of cheating and packing the books, and we always did the same thing to them. When we go over to their place, you weren't supposed to carry certain foods with you, like, you know, around a pool area. Kids, I don't even know if kids do this anymore. We used to bring Jell-O, packs of Jell-O, and, you know, stick our fingers in the Jell-O, you know, because it had sugar to give you strength. No Jell-O was allowed, but we'd always sneak that Jell-O in there, and we'd always, you know, accidentally drop some around the pool area. because this was a strong rival. But we were there collectively to learn. I can't remember what we were learning. But this is what happened. Both swim teams were in the pool. And their swim commander, or whatever you call them, their head coach, was asking people to give a perfect display of different strokes. Now, I was best at breaststroke and freestyle. I always did the freestyle relay and the breaststroke part of that relay, and I did those events, okay? I didn't do backstroke very good. I would jump back and I would sink, y'all. I could do it, but I wasn't winning. If they needed a body to fill a position in my age group, I could do it, but hey, listen, I was not going to win. The other stroke that I was never going to win is, guess what? Butterfly. So get this, on this day, both swim teams, we're talking about like 100, 200 people, were all in the pool watching people do the strokes correctly, okay? Now, Lynn, the head coach of Fort Mill, she said, I want somebody to show us the correct way to do the butterfly stroke. Everybody was quiet, Butch. Nobody was willing. Nobody would do it. No, I volunteered. I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. And she looked at me in front of all those people, and she said, yeah, but you won't do it right. You don't know how to do the butterfly. Now, understand something. Melissa, I was willing. I was willing to do it, but I wasn't worthy to do it. Do you hear me? I was willing, Brother Frank, to get out there and show them what I had. And I mean, it would probably have been a mess. I mean, we lived on Lake Wiley, and I would sometimes try, because I always thought the butterfly was a beautiful stroke. I don't know how in the world that y'all see them do that. When I was in high school, Melvin Stewart was one of my good friends. Does that name sound familiar to y'all, Melvin Stewart? Melvin Stewart was Olympic gold medalist in guess what stroke? The butterfly. He swam for our other nemesis, PTL. Okay? That dude, when they hit the whistle or shot the gun, you jumped in the water and you could take three paddles with your feet before you came up and you started doing the stroke. Melvin was halfway across the pool when everybody else was just getting off the starting blocks. He could do the butterfly very well. Church, understand, I knew how to do it. I knew how to do it, but I couldn't do it like that. I was willing, but I was not worthy. Willing, but not worthy. Church, do you understand that this question was being asked in the throne room of heaven? Warren Wiersbe says this about 5:1, chapter 5, verse 1. The focus of attention now shifts to the seven-sealed scroll in God's hand. The scroll could not be read because it was rolled up and sealed like a Roman legal document. Now, church, understand, a document with seven seals meant that seven different people agreed with what was written was true and legal, that it would be enforced and it would come to truth. Whoever was going to deliver this document had to be tried and tested, worthy of trust. Warren Wiersbe also goes on to say this. John could see the writing on both sides of the scroll, which meant that the writer had much to say and nothing more would be added to what was written. What was written was the completed and final word. God's standing there, sitting there with his scroll in his hand, with a document that was legally binding. What was written, church, understand this. What was written on this scroll would come to pass. Do you understand? This is both a past event and a future event. What is written on this scroll is going to take place. There's nothing we can do to stop it. We should both be excited about that and fearful of that. We should be excited because, and I'll get to this here in a second, where we're going to be when this event takes place. We should be scared because it's definitely going to take place, and people we love are going to be here on this earth, and they're going to be affected by what takes place when that seal's open, when that scroll is opened. So here we stand. So here we stand with John. John was looking at the scroll in the hand of God that could only be touched by someone who was worthy to take it and open the seals. No one could be found. We see John. John is crying. Scripture says crying and crying, which gives us an indication that a period of time elapsed from the time the angel asked who was worthy until the time the one who was worthy revealed himself. It was a lapse of time. Church, it could be that John was upset because there was no one currently present who was worthy to touch the scroll. And it could be that he was equally as upset that the important information in the scroll could not be revealed. We're talking about information that was in the hand of God. Stan, they couldn't open it. They could not open it. The truth couldn't be told. According to not only Jewish tradition, listen to me, not only according to Jewish tradition, but Roman law as well, a title deed or a will can only be opened by the appointed heir. And in this particular case, this particular scroll, there is only one heir. One heir, and that's Jesus Christ. Glory to God. They're looking. And he's standing in the background waiting to see if anybody in heaven thinks that they are worthy to touch this. And there's silence. The only thing that you hear is John crying because he's realizing, I'm in heaven in the spirit, and there's nobody in heaven who is able to touch this. And Jesus is standing back watching every single bit of it. Now, how or why? I just said Jesus is the heir. He's worthy. How or why was Jesus worthy to take this scroll? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, being John, stop your crying. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing between the throne and the four living creatures, along with the elders, and the seven horns and seven, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set into the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. How or why is Jesus worthy to take this scroll, church? We first see that Jesus met the Jewish requirements of being from the tribe of Judah and the seed of David. Don't you know, if you read throughout Scripture, the Jews, I mean, that's so important to them. The family ties, that they'd be able to find their roots, their lineage, all the way back so they can trace it, so they can stand as close to the holies as they possibly can. Now, I've said this many, many times, church, but you understand when Jerusalem was destroyed, that those records are gone. There's only one person of Jewish descent who can trace his lineage all the way back to Adam. Y'all know who that is? That's Jesus. The one who can touch the scroll. The one who can touch the scroll. Now, think with me. I don't want to miss anything. Hold on. We see that Jesus met the Jewish requirements of being in the seed of David, and that he has been victorious in our scripture. Well, what exactly does this mean? Jesus took all man had to give him,
and he came out of this world sinless. Jesus was born. He was ridiculed. He was beaten, battered, and bloodied. He was nailed to a Roman cross where he died on the third day, and on the third day he rose from the dead. Man has obtained many victories in this world, but none will ever surpass the victory of Jesus. Think with me how you were affected when your team was victorious. When your team was victorious, like mine was last night against the Duke Blue Devils. Everybody in here has some sort of favorite team or somebody they root for. I'll never forget in 1982, the college basketball national championship. It was, the final game was North Carolina against who? Bill, do you remember? You don't? George, who said that? That's right, Georgetown. That game, everybody tries to, you know, around this time they'll say, what do you think the best national championship game was? I don't know how that's not the top of the tops. The whole game was back and forth. I mean, the lead change was like 20, 30 times. Every time Georgetown got the ball, they'd get ahead. Every time North Carolina got the ball, they'd get ahead. I think there were four goaltendings called on Georgetown during that game against Patrick Ewing. Y'all remember Patrick Ewing? Yeah, I mean, he was in that Bugs Bunny movie. What was that movie called? Yeah, Space Jam, along with the greatest player of all time. What was his name? Michael Jordan. He didn't play for Duke, did he? That's right. But in 1982, my boys, the North Carolina Tar Heels, won the national championship. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. Listen, that next day when I got to go to school, y'all know what I wore? I wore my North Carolina gear. All of it. I mean, I put bumper stickers on me. Why? Because my team was victorious. Now, here's the kicker here, y'all. I didn't live in North Carolina. I lived in South Carolina. And South Carolina ain't really ever had a men's basketball team. They do okay. Now, the women have won a couple national championships, but the men, they might not even know they have a men's basketball team at South Carolina most of the time. But this is what happens. In South Carolina, they're either Clemson or they're Carolina. I didn't know that. I thought everybody was a North Carolina fan. So people looked at me when I went to school, Gary, like I had five eyes on my head. What's the big deal? What happened? I mean, South Carolina's not really even a basketball state. What do you mean? What's this North Carolina? They've got a terrible football team. Yeah, they do. But we're number one in basketball. You see, my team was victorious. It didn't affect anybody, but guess who? Me. I was excited along with about four or five other people, but that's it. I was just excited about me and my team. Church, listen. Do you have any clue as to what it means that Jesus was victorious? If you die before or even are taken up in the rapture, and you're called up in the rapture, either way, we are going to see this event take place in heaven one day. We will either be there on, we'll all be there on this day. Amen? We're going to see this victorious Jesus take the scroll from the hand of God. But there's something else we need to understand, is that we as the church are the bridegroom, and Jesus is our groom. We're the bridegroom, and Jesus is our groom. The groom shares everything with his bride. What that means is that even though that we might not feel worthy in many ways spiritually, because of Jesus Christ, church, because of Jesus Christ, because of what he has done for us, you hold your head up high because you are worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to do what God's called you to do. You are. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you have. I don't care how much you don't have. God has called us individually to do things different. There's some things that y'all, God's given you the ability to do, I just can't do. And there's some, I mean, there's some people, if I said, okay, look, Tracy, I want you to come up here and give a devotion tonight. Tracy's going to say, hey, Matt, you doing it. Right? And Matt being the obedient husband that he is, loving his wife, he'd say, darling, I'll do my best. Can't believe that preacher did that. But we also have tasks that God has given all to us. And that's to proclaim the world that Jesus Christ is King. Amen? We are to witness. We are to try our very best to serve God by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Kyle, I don't feel worthy. Neither did Paul. Neither did Paul. But if you're called, you're worthy. Amen? If you're a part of the body of Christ, you are worthy. Brother Kyle, I don't feel worthy. There's many times I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I do, Jeff, I do not feel worthy, but I'm called. And if you're called and you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, understand something. You are worthy. You're worthy. Church, we may not be worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God, but we are worthy to praise Him for His worthiness. A day is shortly coming when we will stand before God and we will see as He sees us whether we're willing to do and give Him the praises that He's rightly due. Do your acts of worship show the world that you are worthy, or more importantly, that Jesus is worthy? Can the world see through your acts of worship that Jesus is worthy? Will you come now and worship Him at this altar? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, we love You. And we praise God in heaven, Lord, that You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of our praise, our times, our talents, our tithes, our everything, Lord. You are worthy of everything. Because what You did for us, what You were willing to do for us. Now, Lord, help us be moved by Your Spirit this morning to understand that we're worthy because of You. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?